get my shoulder.
Ram it in there. You're good. Sargon of Akkad, or Carl Benjamin's here with us in Texas. He's on a university free speech tour. You know, Trump has signed an executive order. They try to block conservative speaking. They can lose their funding. But I'm told that you've already been canceled from one university.
It was Rice University. Got cold feet because they had a scandal and didn't want media attention drawn to them. And they were worried that I would draw attention to them. So
he wanted to come out and do some shooting. He's done some shooting before. And in most countries, this isn't happening for the general civilian population. So it's important to exercise this right while we still have it, with Beto O'Rourke saying he's coming for the guns.
Yes, he does seem to be quite insistent on taking your guns.
That's why we've got the Beto Not shirt available at InfoWarsStore.com. That helps support the Second Amendment and the First Amendment.
So we have a full automatic German G36 right there from Heckler & Koch. We got a Mossberg. Automatic shotgun, STI pistol. We have a Falkor 9mm pistol with a Vortex sight. We have a Heckler & Koch SP5K. And then we have a Zenith Z5 right here.
Well, Carl, or Sargon, has chosen the full auto rifle to fire first. Shot a 9mm handgun?
Once before.
Okay, well, you were two shots a little bit off target, but after that, you were dialed in. Let's look at this. That's why they don't want people to go out and shoot, because it demystifies it. So he shot twice over here, still would have stopped an attacker, and then after that, he was boom, right in there.
Well, these were the first two shots, so I was just learning how the gun felt, you know, because I've not fired it before.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying, you're a natural.
Yeah. But it seems to get a feel for it in season, you know, it's not
exactly, rubbing. It's all just second nature.
Yeah.
Benjamin, a.k.a. Sargon of Akkad, in Austin, Texas, exercising the Second Amendment while it's still around, with Beto saying, damn right I'm coming to your house with SWAT teams to take your guns. And they said they've got something really special for us today. That's right. It's a full-auto Falkor made here in America that shoots your tracers indoors. We're going to be able to do that. Supposedly, this looks like a laser beam when we're able to do it. So get ready for that. Are you excited, my friend?
Very, actually. I've not seen how this fires on full auto, so I'm quite excited to see what the result's going to be.
Full auto, 9mm tracer, indoors, stealth ammo, only in America. Beto is not liking this. Video at band.video.
October 21st, 2019. Yes, already, ladies and gentlemen, already. I've got a bunch of news to get through today. A lot of video clips as well, but it's going to be a difficult challenge because I've got a loaded guest list. So, George Papadopoulos joins me in the first hour. Always informative. He is right. He's in the veins. He's at the heart of Spygate. And so he's going to give us some of the intel on some of the stories that are developing right now, including, again, and he's come on the air and he's written books about this, but the missing Joseph Misfood, where he might be, if he's even in this dimension anymore. Nobody really knows. And then Leo Zagami is going to join me. You know, I see this story coming out of the Vatican. Anytime there's Vatican news, we get our Vatican expert on, Leo Zagami. Pagan Amazonian statues used by Pope Francis in controversial Vatican ceremony, removed from church and chucked into Tiber River. That's from the Gateway Pundit. Other headlines such as thieves steal Amazon fertility statues as synod nears end. Again, Leo Zagami will break that down. Thomas Bartram is going to be joining us. This is the individual who was arrested at the Trump rally for having his rifle, didn't break any laws. They didn't take him to jail or anything. They did question him. But he'll be joining us to correct the record because the mainstream news is making him out to be a bunch of stuff he's not, including a protester of the removal of troops from northern Syria. They you're trying to tie him into that group. Totally untrue. And even some conservative news voices kind of fell for that because they're not giving the real details of the story. So Thomas is going to correct the record on that. And then American hero Kerry Porch is going to be joining us, the CNN whistleblower, the latest from exposed CNN. I think they have another drop that may have actually either just happened or is going to happen soon. Part four of exposed CNN. So it's all been totally exposed, and this is the most trusted name in news, CNN. Well, yeah, I mean, if it's the most trusted to tell a lie, if it's the most trusted to be wrong, if it's the most trusted to be propaganda, if it's the most trusted to be CIA run, yeah. If it's trusted to be anti-American, absolutely. We totally trust CNN to be anti-American, anti-capitalist, anti-reality, anti-Trump, anti-you. Oh, sure. Then they are the most trusted. We totally trust CNN hates America and hates the truth. I trust that that is true to CNN's core. But, you know, Kerry is the expert at that, so he'll be joining us. But, you know, I'm going to do a news blitz in the next segment. And I don't know if you guys have this video in our video list today. I doubt it. I don't see it anywhere. But I saw this story, and it kind of, to me, summarized everything, actually. Headline, model twerks on burning Barcelona street as a form of protest. Now, what am I talking about here? And guys, I don't know if you can find this video, but a quote-unquote model, Sandra Kesterna, is twerking in the middle of streets that have fire burning and objects burning, just total chaos. And she's there twerking. Yeah, there it is right there. So this is the new thing. But this is a protest, too, because she says it's a form of protest. But it actually kind of sums up everything, doesn't it? You have the world burning, which is communism going global. It's globalism, global communism. That's what globalism is. And you have protests in Hong Kong. You have riots in Chile, riots in Ecuador. London is falling apart. You see what's going on in the West. You see what's going on with drag queen story time. And so you see all this happening, the riots and protests in France, everything happening in the Middle East. So it's like, yeah, okay, here's the stage. The world is burning. Here's global communism about to take over. and then I'm going to protest. But what's really the protest? It's all about her shaking her fat ass. So see, that's what it's really all about. It's all about fake protests that are really just all about you. All about you getting on social media. All about you getting a hashtag. All about the focus being you, but you use the backdrop of a protest, or you use the world is burning stage for the optics that get the attention, and then you say, I'm protesting. But it's really just all about you. And it just kind of summarized, it kind of just put everything into a frame for me. And so while, yes, this is about as low IQ as you can get, twerking in the middle of the streets while they're on fire, it's pretty much the same thing when these people go out and protest to take your guns or protest to stop climate change, when the people that want them out there protesting are the ones adding to climate change. Or they ignore the geoengineering going on. Or they ignore the fact that everywhere communism and socialism take over and the government murders people, they first take the guns. The person they hate the most, Hitler, took the guns. So it just kind of just put everything into one moment. A protester twerking on the streets as they burn. Don't worry, that street fire, it's not going to be put out by that twerker. No, no, no. The street fire has to keep burning, you see? Because it's not about stopping the street fire. It's not about stopping the chaos. It's not about stopping the rioting. It's not about stopping the violence. It's not about stopping anything. It's about using that as your stage to shake your butt or to hold your sign or to start your hashtag or to glorify yourself or to just feel virtuous or to feel accomplished. And that's really what it is. But call it a protest. Yes, call it righteousness. Are you putting out the fire? No. Are you actually changing your lifestyle to stop, quote unquote, global warming? No. Do you actually do the research to know what happens in every country where they take the guns? No. Do you do the research to know what happens in any area where they take the guns or there's less guns? No. No, it's all about you getting a platform. It's all about you feeling good about yourself. Using the backdrop as your stage to just glorify your own need for self-righteousness. Now, when I come back from this break, I'm going to do as much of a news blitz as I possibly can because I'm literally loaded with guests and the rest of the show. So I'm going to try to pile drive through all this. But folks, InfoWarsStore.com. Guys, pull up the site for me, if you would, InfoWarsStore.com. Because we've got specials going right now, and I want you to take advantage of these. The Everything Must Go sale is still going on, and so that means up to 70% off some of the supplements right now, up to 50% off some of the survival foods, and also there's all kinds of packages that we've put together at InfoWarsStore.com that offer even deeper discounts, like the Stop the Iodine Conspiracy Challenge. And so you can go check that out, 60% off at InfoWarsStore.com. 40% off the air filter. 40% off the air filter. And with free shipping. With free shipping, that's big savings, folks. So take care of that. I can show you all the studies about the polluted air in the cities that are then in your homes, but do the research for yourself and then go get the best air filter at InfoWarsStore.com. 40% off right now.
InfoWars.com/show.
Welcome back to the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. The Everything Must Go sale happening right now. Free shipping store-wide. Now, I need to do a news blitz here before George Papadopoulos joins us in the next segment. So let me just pick up a stack and go. This is from the Washington Post today. Opinion. What want Trump removed? New data shows Fox News is a huge obstacle. Let me translate this for you. We're desperate to have Trump removed, but new data shows the truth is a huge obstacle. And so this is why they try to get hosts, get them off Fox News when they misbehave, like Tucker Carlson or Judge Jeanine. Oh, how dare they? And then they go after their sponsors. And then they say, well, this is just part of the program. We have to get Trump out of office, you see. So just get ready, because this is Washington Post feeds MSNBC. So this will be a talking point probably on MSNBC tonight, how bad Fox is. But you already heard with the CNN clips, and Kerry Porch is going to be joining us in the final hour, where they say, oh, that fake Fox News, he's the reason for all this. Fox News is the reason for all this. So they're just telling you, like, yeah, we're coming to censor you. We're going to continue to demonize you. We want you censored. But really, it's just truth is in their way. Free speech is in their way. Fox News is just the big boogeyman to listed as, because they've already got InfoWars banned off everywhere, so why go with that? The Gateway Pundit. Pelosi and Schiff travel to Jordan to undermine President Trump and shadow diplomacy, violate Logan Act, should be immediately arrested upon return. You know, this is kind of like when McCain was going over to meet with the terrorists in Syria. You remember that? John Kerry used to do the same thing. So what are they doing over there? What are Pelosi and Schiff doing over there in Jordan? Where, by the way, actually in Lebanon, there's protests all over Lebanon too. Forgot about that. There's protests happening in Spain, in France, in Lebanon, in Hong Kong, in Chile, in Venezuela. I mean, everywhere. The United States, Ecuador. All because of globalists and communists merged as one. It's called globalism. Judge rules prosecutors can't show Godfather clip at Roger Stone's trial. That Obama appointee really likes to make sure Roger Stone just can't get anything in edgewise. He's not allowed to talk. He's not allowed to do anything. Because here's the thing. You can't prove. He's totally innocent. He did nothing wrong. It was a rigged trial. They all know it. And so they want to use this clip from The Godfather that just kind of summarizes how it's all rigged and, you know, they're basically the mafia. And so the Obama judge says no. So they'll just keep going after Roger Stone until he's dead. That's probably what they really want, in jail or dead. But he's taking it in good spirits. I got to be honest, folks. I mean, I don't know how he does it. The liberation of Mitt Romney from The Atlantic. Oh, so woke. The newly rebellious senator has become an outspoken dissident in Trump's Republican Party. Just in time for the president's impeachment trial. Yeah, Romney will definitely vote to impeach. But wait a second, Mitt Romney is 72? Wow. He looks good for 72. Give him credit for that. But to consider him rebellious for going against Trump? No, Atlantic. But see, that's woke Atlantic. I mean, that's so elite. Oh, look at Romney with an R behind his name going against Trump. So woke. So elite. Let's give him a puff piece in the Atlantic. Yes. I always use this trick to confuse leftist Trump protesters. Mentions of government as top U.S. problem near record high. That's from Gallup. Now, you see, I had this old trick I did in the 2016 election, and I said this. I forget how it went. It was just to ask people, Do you think government is corrupt? Do you think government is a problem? And like 90% of the people will say yes. And so I say, well, of the two names I'm going to mention, who represents government more, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump? And so that was like a real easy way for them to cross up their philosophical lines, realizing that, oh, the government's so corrupt, the government's so bad, the government's the problem. And then to have that misfire of somehow attributing that to Donald Trump, who's never been in government, and not attributing that to Hillary Clinton, who's been in government for decades. And so I still do the same thing to this day. Because most people hate the government. They know the government's corrupt. They don't want anything to do with the government. But when you say it back to them, mirroring the policies that they're either protesting for or claiming they're against because of Trump, it crosses their wires. Oh, you want smaller government, but you want government to pay for everything. Crosses their wires, and they have like a total misfire in the brain. So yeah, most people are sick of the government. Kind of like most people don't trust the news. It's the same thing. Most people don't trust the news. Most people don't trust the government. What's totally against Trump? The established government and the established news. Get it? Got it? No, they don't. So here we are. Ilhan Omar lives brazen double life with her married campaign aide. And so people can call out the Daily Mail for fake news. They engage in plenty of it. But that's because they pretty much just cover everything. But this is well documented, ladies and gentlemen. All the pictures are there. Ilhan Omar is not only dating, but living on and off with her married campaign aide, Tim Minette. The two have secret hookups at Omar's love nest and are taking romantic vacations and making plans for a long-term future together. It's all very adorable. Yay! You know, a couple that protest together stay together. And they were out there at the riots outside of the Trump rally in Minnesota. So I say good for them. I say good for Ilhan Omar. How many husbands has she had now? Three? How many did she report on her IRS forms? I don't know. So that's nice, though, that that all has been totally proven, because we were all really concerned about Ilhan Omar's love life. Not really, just more of the fact that she's a total fraud and a liar. And if it was Trump that engaged in this behavior, or any Republican congressman or woman, it would be the end of their careers, and they would be forced to resign. Extramarital affairs, lying on tax forms, religious matrimonies, and then outside of that, being married too. I mean, it's all very, very strange. It's not very, should we say Orthodox Islamic, Orthodox Islam there for Ilhan Omar to be sleeping around? I mean, if she was in Somalia, well, I won't say it. All right, George Papadopoulos joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
Infowars.com/show. Warning, this broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, I'm sad to inform our audience we have just received word from George Papadopoulos. He has to postpone today's interview. Something has come up, but he has assured us he'll be back on with us in 24 hours. So tomorrow at 3:30, we'll be joined by George Papadopoulos. So unfortunately, not able to join us now, but looking forward still yet to talk to him tomorrow. Let's go now. President Trump just a moment ago was addressing the media, took some questions on China. Trump's stance on China has been firm. Here he was doubling, tripling, quadrupling down on that.
They have started the buying. So while we're papering the deal, and that's going well, we hope to sign it probably in Chile when we have a summit in Chile or wherever that may be. But we'll be able to, we think, sign a completed document with China on phase one. Then we start working on phase two. And actually, things in phase two are easier than phase one. But it's so big, like as an example of the agricultural products, it's so big that we thought doing phases.
So you see the president laying it out there. He's not just talking about more deals in general.
It's interesting he says that because last week he had mentioned he was going to have a summit in Chile, and I was trying to look for as much information on that as possible, and I couldn't find anything. It was just proposed, or it was basically an idea, I guess, of somebody's for there to be a summit in Chile with President Xi or some representative of China and President of the United States. I didn't see anything formal, though. I didn't see anything in the news, nothing concrete for sure. And then, out of nowhere, riots and protests in Chile. Chile death toll rises to 11. President extends emergency. And I didn't hear about anything going on in Chile at all until the president said, oh, I'm going to have a conference with President Xi in Chile to talk about this trade deal. And then out of nowhere, Chile breaks into total chaos. And so you just heard the president say that now what I was supposed to be in Chile with President Xi looks like maybe it won't be because he said, or maybe a different place now. Of course, they forced him to remove the G7 from Doral. Trump reversed course on hosting G7 summit at his club after learning that impeachment-weary Republicans were tired of defending him. But, you know, it wouldn't have mattered. It wouldn't have mattered. The impeachment Republicans are going to be that no matter where he hosts. That just gives them more fuel. So I guess that's how he figures it. Make them look worse and just not giving them any fuel at all. But he said he would have done it for free. And whether you believe that or not, I guess it's a different story. But that's how that goes. Now, remember we were curious, does Drudge support Gabbard? Does Drudge support Buttigieg? Does Drudge support Trump? I don't know. We're actually going to be joined by Andrew Torba, hopefully this week, from Gab, who put out a tweet today questioning tomorrow, thank you, whether or not Drudge has any loyalties at all. But I've kind of had my own stance on that I remain firm in, but we'll discuss that with Andrew Torba tomorrow. Mark Zuckerberg, though, this is from, I think it's from Bloomberg, I'm not sure. Mark Zuckerberg has quietly recommended campaign hires to Pete Buttigieg. So the Facebook CEO and his wife are recommending hires for Pete Buttigieg. So Facebook CEO and his wife are literally doing campaign advising for Pete Buttigieg. Wonder if there'll be any favoritism there. Heads up, Tulsi Gabbard. But I want to read this. I didn't get to this last week from Mark Zuckerberg. Actually, hey, are we still up on Facebook? Have we? We're still live on Facebook? Hold on. We've got a debate. You got to come on the microphone. I can't have all that's in my ear right now without telling the audience what's going on. All right. So Mark Zuckerberg said, we're seeing people try to define more free speech as dangerous because it may lead to political outcomes they see as unacceptable. And so he goes on to say how he's now for free speech. He's not going to police political speech. We were banned from Facebook. We made a page on Thursday. Are we still on Facebook? Are we live right now?
Okay, so I tried to log into our Facebook today and do our live stream like we normally do, and it told me that I had to upload a picture of you so they could verify that it was you. So as of now, we are not logged into the Facebook, and we're not able to have access to our account. So we're not streaming on there currently. We're not banned yet, but we're not streaming.
So. You just need a picture of me?
I'm sorry, say again?
Just all you need is a picture of me, and we can be live?
Yeah, so I just pulled one from the internet. And they have to verify that it's you. So we'll see if we actually get that live stream up. I think this is a precursor to us getting banned.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's probably it. But hey, we'll see. Is Mark Zuckerberg a total fraud? Like Susan Wojcicki at YouTube, who says, we're going to allow these people back on. We've got to allow the controversial content. And so we start our page back up. Facebook let us on. Apparently, I have 300 friends, you say? Wow. I'm pretty popular over there. 300 friends on Facebook. I mean, you know. So, we'll see if they still allow us on Facebook. We were out over the weekend, though. It was Tent City tailgate here outside of the UT football game, guys. Let's just show a quick highlight of that in video number 4. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm back. Couple burgers and a couple brats later, and here I am live, still in front of UT Stadium. It's the Trump is Innocent booth. InfoWars is live out here. We got a big crowd out here with us. We got burgers and brats and beverages. And as you can see, a lot of foot traffic comes down this this walk right here. And they get a nice big Trump is Innocent sign right there.
I was out at the car races, the Formula One track the other day, and I wore this t-shirt, and I was getting compliments left and right. People were like, yeah, InfoWars! And
is that the Mon Labe foil?
It is, yes. It's the Gold Foil. You can get it on InfoWars.com. It is one of my favorite t-shirts. I get compliments on it all the time. I love it. I want to get it, like, tattooed on me somewhere.
Sound guy Derek's footage. Look at that. Cameos happening here. Folks, you can find all these videos at InfoWars.com and on my Twitter as well.
A couple liberal haters come by, but it's mostly Trump love out here. It's mostly patriotic love out here. People coming by, asking us who we're with, asking us about Bandot Video and InfoWars. We had a banner in the sky flying around, too. So that was fun.
More time.
Trump's innocent!
Man on the street from our sound guy too. And then there's the InfoWars.com banner that was flying in the sky for hours while the game was going on. Hey, thanks to the crew for coming out there. Pretty much the whole crew took part. Some of us at the tailgate, others went to the game and chose not to work. And then some of us were just totally MIA. But hey, big shout out to everybody that came out. We may have to do one again. I haven't decided yet. We may do another 10-city tailgate again. But there you go. All right, we're going to have some more video clips on the other side of this break. Don't go anywhere unless it's InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
I need to get to, but I want to play a couple video clips first. Let's look at some of these crazed climate change protesters that we have going on here. We did censor these, right? I just want to make sure. Okay. Clip 16. This is, you know what? I'm not even sure where this is from, but you have some climate change protesters blocking the road, and you're starting to see more of this trend. So I expect that this is going to continue to happen because I don't think the climate change protesters are going to stop protesting. Here's one commuter who broke the climate change protest line, ripped their sign away, threw it over a fence, and gave him the old what for. Roll clip 16. Not anymore. Rips their sign away in the middle of traffic. They're blocking a busy intersection and launches over a fence.
Get the f*** out the way! Get the f*** out the way! Go! Get the f*** out of here! You get the f***!
That is how you solve that. And the headline on my press release today will be climate change protest interrupted by father figure. Because I think that that's what those individuals need in their life. Now, here's one that pretty interesting, too. A climate change protester, an elderly one, goes into an In-N-Out Burger to protest meat and is promptly and literally carried out by the In-N-Out fast food worker. Roll that one. So he goes in there with his bullhorn, and he's literally picked up. Picked up like a sack of potatoes.
Get your hands off me! Get your hands off me! Keep your hands off me! Do you feel bad?
Wow. I'll tell you, that's a lot of patience by that In-N-Out worker.
Think about it!
I would have popped that guy right in his mouth by now. He's literally bullhorning him right in his face. He's a worker at the restaurant.
Keep your hands off of her!
I have not.
Keep your hands off of her!
You're insulting us!
These people are nuts. And then they had to throw another one out. This is fun, actually. You know, I haven't been to In-N-Out in a while, but if this is how they treat the climate change protesters, I may have to patronize.
She was assaulted.
In-N-Out business is going to go up.
What are you doing? She was the.
You can't even get a sandwich at Chick-fil-A. It's so busy, no one goes there anymore. All because of these liberal protests. But I'm telling you what, good for In-N-Out. And if this is the dinner and a show, you get it In-N-Out. Man, I am down. Oh, we got to dump that. Dump that. Can we get that dump, please? Thank you. So, yeah, there you go. That's how people are handling these climate change protesters. And it's not looking good for them. You know, here's another Antifa video, and I think this is an old one. But, you know, I was sitting here thinking about it because I was trying to figure out, is it new, is it old? And I figured, you know, what difference does it make? Because we should always play this. We should remind ourselves how violent the left has been over the course of the last 3 years because nothing has been done about it. They haven't stopped. Their leaders haven't disavowed. And so here is a new clip. It might be an old clip. I don't know. The point is, this is what Antifa does. They go up to a wounded veteran who's paralyzed, and here, watch it. So he walks up to the wounded veteran, takes his water, and then dumps it on his head. And then he's lucky he doesn't get his block knocked off. And then the people that are standing up for him get assaulted. I mean, that's assault. Of course, it's really a hate crime. Antifa's out here engaging in hate crimes. And then some woman is getting in their face. I mean, these people are out of control. I was actually watching, like, there was this one where Antifa was attacking. They surrounded this big guy who was trying to get to work, and he just swung at the first one, and it happened to be a woman, but nobody knows. They all have their faces covered up. They're all in black hoods. And so he's just swinging to try to clear space, knocks a woman out, and then they're like, oh my gosh, you hit a woman! He's like, I don't know what I'm hitting. I'm hitting Nazis. I'm out here hitting commies. It's like there was an old show. I forget what it was. It was real funny, too. But a man punches a Nazi in the face, and it's a woman. And the other woman's like, oh, you hit a woman. He's like, I hit a Nazi. That's who these people are. These are the Nazis. Now, I don't even know. This is so nuts. I can't even... The name of the group is PussyScouts.com, and I really don't even know how to analyze this, to be quite frank with you, but it's basically an anti-Trump rap song featuring the Girl Scouts, and so this is what they're promoting now to the youth via these establishment groups like the Girl Scouts, and so this is from Pussy Scouts, a anti-Trump rap featuring the Girl Scouts.
Oh, Scouts! Ready for your song about President Trump!
Yay!
And then it's Trump with a KKK member.
Ready, be chopping to beat that sick. Gonna rap about a president.
You call women fat pigs. Show no respect.
Try to grab my pussy.
You're gonna get wrecked.
Couldn't plan parenthood, health care. And a dinner more than your fucked up hair.
You said a lady? You gotta treat her like she was rapist, sex, assault culprit.
And take away a woman's abortion right.
Love makes Liz Warren.
Take it down on a fight.
Like Princess Leia choked out Jabba the Hutt.
The women's march showed women
liberate. Is this ignorance? Don't make America great.
Pussy Scouts start with backwards. Psych!
We're future boss bitches, and we drop the mic.
PussyScouts.com. The pussy hat emerged in the Women's March as a powerful symbol of the fight for equality. Get your hat, or get involved with the cause and get a shirt. Girls just want to have fun, demental rights. This is what a feminist looks like. PussyScouts.com.
All right, fine. I was going to quit after that, actually. I was just going to walk off and be done. I was going to retire. All right, I'll stick around then. All right, fine. You know, I should really go, like, line by line, I feel like. But what's the point? But seriously, you could go line for line in this thing that the Girl Scouts just put out. It's real nice, too, that they're encouraging that kind of language amongst the youth. But see, it's all about shock value right now in the left. It's all about as much shock value as you can create just to drum up any sort of an audience for your propaganda. So they're teaching kids all this potty language. But fine, whatever. It's the fact that they're sitting here lying about all this. I mean, you saw all the propaganda in that. Trump's a racist. It's just a lie. Trump's a sexist pig. It's a lie. Trump hates immigrants. That's just a lie. There's a Muslim ban because of Trump. That's just a lie. I mean, seriously, like, you could go down and you break down every line from that rap song. It's all a lie. And again, they promote this to the youth as it's just matter of fact. Oh, this is the truth. This is just matter of fact. Nobody even questions this. No. We're here protesting what everybody knows is true. Trump is the worst. He's a rapist? I mean, I can't believe it. This is what the left does. And it's sick. It really is sick. And I don't even know. That's what I'm saying. I just walk off because it's like, what am I going to do? These people will, they abuse children. They literally abuse children right in broad daylight. They abort children. They celebrate it. They laugh about it. They have the drag queen story time with men waving their genitals, claiming they're women right in front of men and children dancing on them. I mean, it's just disgusting. They roll out all this propaganda. Trump's a rapist. Trump hates Mexicans. Trump hates this. Trump wants to kill you. Trump wants to kill your granny, rape your granny. And it's just all lies. And they just put it out there for the kids. And they know it's a lie. So the left has now reached this point, ladies and gentlemen. The left has now reached this point. The left has now reached this point, folks. They just openly abuse children right in front of you. That's what it is. They sexualize the children right in front of you. They propagandize the children right in front of you. So the left just abuses children right in public now. That's what they do. That's what this is. That's what they've done to these poor Girl Scouts that don't know any better. So the left has now propagandized the Girl Scouts into thinking that their president is a racist, rapist, immigrant-hating, the list goes on and on. And it's all a lie. It's all a lie because of the left. The left will do anything to get their agenda through. The left will do anything to get their politics, including abusing children right in front of your eyes. This is truly sick, psychotic stuff.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight
for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. You just saw what the left is doing to propagandize the kids. And you saw them standing up, telling the kids to stand up for Planned Parenthood. Well, here's what they do at Planned Parenthood.
For Medical Progress is fighting an uphill battle after they exposed Planned Parenthood's trafficking of the hearts, brains, lungs, livers, and limbs of developing infants.
In graphic detail, Planned Parenthood's Senior Director of Medical Services described how to preserve valuable fetal tissue during an abortion.
We've been married to the parts, lungs, livers.
crush that bar. I'm going to basically crush below, I'm going to crush above, and I'm going to see if I get it intact.
Following in the footsteps of Kamala Harris, California Attorney General Xavier Becerra is dangling 15 felony counts against CMP's David Dalyden, and the corporate monstrosity also launched a $7 million racketeering lawsuit against Dalyden and the investigators that aided him.
Dalyden is charged with tampering with a government document and offering to buy human body parts. One a felony, the other a misdemeanor charge that on conviction carry punishment of up to 20 years behind bars. His attorneys say they'll ask to have those charges thrown out.
The sworn testimony that is now coming out, where they admit that the videos are true and admit that they've been harvesting and selling baby body parts for money for years, that's all coming out documented and sworn under oath as evidence and testimony in the courtroom, and I think that's going to have serious repercussions for Planned Parenthood and their business partners as this process continues.
Planned Parenthood is a strange animal, a hybrid of a political network and a network of healthcare. But as testimony during the CMP versus Planned Parenthood trial reveals, Planned Parenthood is nothing short of a corporocratic sacrificial temple, with FedEx trucks trucking out baby parts as if Planned Parenthood was simply a grocery store butcher. As CMP board member Alban Romberg revealed, in some cases, the people noticed that the parts went out before the mother went out. She would come staggering out later, typically throwing up in the bushes and being helped out of the place after the baby parts had already gone into the FedEx truck. Romberg then dropped a gruesome bombshell, testifying, "We realized that one, for example, was a research being done on baldness. They were scalping the babies and taking their scalps and grafting them onto immune-suppressed mice, and then using various pharmaceuticals on these humanized mice to test the effect upon preventing, or I suppose you might say, treating baldness." As Town Hall reported, Planned Parenthood violently ends the lives of more than 332,000 unborn children every year. Their health care offerings have long been declining, yet their financials have never looked better. Something to keep in mind when they cry poor over the Title X funds they chose to forego. During fiscal year 2017 to 2018, they reported a record income of $1.67 billion, with $244.8 million in excess revenue. $563.8 million of that revenue, or more than $1.5 million per day, came from the American taxpayer. Not to mention, George Soros has flooded the coffers of Planned Parenthood with approximately $30 million, and Soros recently launched a political action committee that has given Planned Parenthood Virginia its record largest outside contribution of $350,000, according to the Virginia Public Access Project's website. On top of their mounting legal costs, CMP faces a biased Judge Orrick, whose ties to Planned Parenthood are well known. While monsters like abortionist Ulrich Klopfer, who had his medical license revoked, are only discovered after they have died, when the remains of 2,246 babies were found in his home. How many more Klopfers are out there preying on those that can't defend themselves? The trial between CMP and Planned Parenthood will wrap up sometime in early November. John Bound reporting.
And of course, all John Bound reports and videos can be found at band.video. Band.video. All right, when we come back, it's Leo Zagami. He's going to talk about what happened at the Vatican that's making news right now. Second hour of the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, where we have the Everything Must Go sale happening right now. Take advantage of free shipping store-wide, ladies and gentlemen. And you see all the great supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. You see all the stories about supplements, the positive health effects. You see supplements becoming mainstream as a health benefit that a lot of people are taken advantage of. And so it can be kind of confusing, and it can be a bit overwhelming to try to get into it. You say, well, what am I supposed to take? What do I need? What do I take in the morning? What do I take at night? Well, if you're asking yourself those questions, if you're new to supplementation, we've got the answer for you. It's the 8-pack power stack at InfoWarsStore.com, and you're getting really lucky right now with this deal. Deep discount on the 8-pack power stack right now. And so this is part of the Everything Must Go sale. We've got plenty of these, so we're dropping them at a deep discount right now. And it's 75% off for the 8-pack power stack. Now, this is $30 right now, okay? The leading competitor to the 8-pack power stack, which is, you know, you see all the supplements at the supplement stores and for men's supplements, women's supplements, and they do the same thing. They give you a packet for the AM and the PM. Well, we have the same thing. The leading competitors are about $120 for one box or one, let's say, unit, and it'll last you about 2 weeks. Ours is on sale for $30. $30. So this is the best option when it comes to just your multivitamin supplement pack, the 8-pack power stack at InfoWarsStore.com. We have it sorted for you, and it's a deep discount, $30 right now. 75% off. That's basically at cost. You cannot get a better deal, ladies and gentlemen. So start supplementing today with the 8-pack power stack at InfoWarsStore.com. All right, Leo Zagami, frequent guest of the War Room, always a pleasure. Leo, as soon as I saw this story, I was so confused trying to follow it, and I just kind of put my hands in the air, and I said, you know what? I'm not even going to try to figure this out. Why don't I just have Leo Zagami explain it to myself and the audience? A couple headlines here, Leo. Pagan Amazonian statues used by Pope Francis in controversial Vatican ceremony removed from church and chucked into Tiber River. That's from Gateway Pundit. Mainstream News says, thieves steal Amazon fertility statues as synod nears end. Now, this is a lot to unpack here, and kind of mystical, I think, a little bit as well, Leo. So Leo Zagami from leozagami.com. What is this? What is this? Why is it involved in a Vatican ceremony? Why is Pope Francis doing it? Why were they stolen? What's the story, Leo?
Well, the story is that there has been a controversy going on since earlier this month, since the beginning of this Pan-Amazon Synod, which is dedicated apparently to that region of the earth that we all know is very important for all of us, and that, of course, so also all those fires this summer. Fires that were deliberately induced, by the way, by friends of Pope Francis. And, of course, those friends of Pope Francis, some of them are those indigenous tribes that are now gathered with him for this Pan-Amazon Synod. What happened is that on the 4th, at the eve of the Feast of St. Francis, on the 4th of October, there was a ceremony right within the Vatican Gardens with Pope Francis, which looked like a complete pagan ceremony, because these statues of Pachamama, which is basically a fertility goddess, very popular in South America, were displayed with a ritual. It wasn't just a display. It was actually a ritual, and the Pope participated in it. Now, this controversy was then highlighted by LifeSite News, that opened a petition to remove these statues that in the meantime were used again for another important procession with 250 members of the church, indigenous tribe members, and so on, which on last Saturday went on this Station on the Cross procession with these statues that were then put in this church, which of course is called Santa Maria in Transpontina, is just next to the Basilica of St. Peter's, and is part of the Vatican enclave. Now, in a deliberate attempt by the traditionalist Catholic to sabotage this whole thing, which of course is paganism, because Pachamama, I mean, if you go in Bolivia, they actually sacrifice the fetuses of llamas. Now, I know that you had llamas in your studio recently, Owen. I saw that Alex was playing with them. They're very nice animals. but they are actually sacrificed, and the fetus are displayed for the sacrificial act, which is made towards this goddess. And this is done for each house that is built in the Andes. And for bigger buildings, they actually even homage this goddess with human sacrifices. So, of course, traditional Catholics were outraged. They picked up the statues, of course, with a camera behind them, and they passed them in front of Castel Sant'Angelo, which is a very symbolic place because it's the place where the Inquisition used to lock up all the prisoners. And then they throwed these statues in the Tiber, where they're laying now under this river, which, of course, is the important river in Rome. So this is what has happened. And it's a quite incredible story because at the same time, this Pan-Amazon Synod is creating a lot of controversy, especially because in the last few days, one of the key speakers of this synod was a leading atheist climate scientist who advocates for a one-world government. He's called Professor Hans-Joachim Schellgruber. And so, I mean, the Vatican is giving themselves to the atheists, the globalists, and the church where, note this, Owen, the church where the statues were residing is the church used by the communists and the progressive forces in the last few months to gather people in an anti-Bolsonaro agenda, meaning to gather people against the present president of Brazil, who, as we know, is a conservative and a friend of Donald J. Trump.
So do you think that it's all connected? Bolsonaro in Brazil, the fires, the Vatican, this pagan ritual, are you saying it's all connected?
Absolutely. Like I reported earlier on my website in a couple of articles this summer, after these indigenous tribe leaders got to be received in the Vatican in May, a particular one who is very influential, then a few weeks later, the fire started erupted all over the place. And we know, and this is I mean, this is normal. These indigenous people are fed up of living in a very primitive situation. So the Vatican must have promised them something. Probably by setting on fire half of the Amazon, they have then gathered the place so they can then start construction and building modern cities that will be then inhabited by these indigenous tribe members. So there is, of course, some shady deals behind the scenes, and the Vatican is encouraging also these pagan beliefs. I mean, during this ritual, there is this ritual made with the sage. You know, sage is a very powerful tool for people who are involved in magic for purification rituals. And so it was both used at the beginning of the month in front of Pope Francis and also in this procession in which you saw basically a bunch of Catholic priests using these pagan statues and this sage that to purify the people that were present. So, I mean, it's pretty incredible what is happening with this Pan-Amazon scene of the
Dominican. And this is, this is considered sacrilegious, right, to the Catholic Church for this to be going on?
Yeah, that's why LifeSite News, that is a traditional Catholic, started this petition. And that is why a lot of people are suspecting traditional Catholics who are probably close.
So this is Pope Francis and the Vatican openly engaging in paganism.
Yes.
Wow, that's amazing. All right, well, another segment with Leo. Don't go anywhere.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Zagami from LeoZagami.com is with us. We covered the story that everyone is talking about right now, the pagan Amazonian statues used by Pope Francis. So the Pope is just, with the Catholic Church, engaging in paganism just for the public. So naturally, a devout Catholic goes and sabotages that. But this is the corrupt Pope after all. It's at leozagami.com. Leo, you got some other breaking news at leozagami.com. What else is going on over there?
Well, of course, there has been also this intrusion by a German tourist who has highlighted also the lack of security within the St. Peter's Basilica, but also this important message that he wanted to filter, some kind of apocalyptic feeling that is ongoing in this behind the scenes during this Pan-Amazon Synod. I mean, this German tourist started to shout various things, and at one point, of course, people thought, who is this guy? They knew Martin Luther. Some people even thought he said Zagami at one point, but I mean, we understood later on that he was just saying something with a northern German accent. But in any case, it seems like there is a lot of tension in the Vatican at the moment, because, of course, they are really fooling this globalist agenda of climate change, and this is really their last chance to vehicle this propaganda that the Pope has put together for the Synod.
How come I've never heard of any of this before, and now it's totally viral? Everyone's talking about it. I think there's a lot of shock, too.
Well, I mean, of course, there is a lot of shock, but I repeat, now the Vatican in the last few hours has made a statement through their official spokesperson saying that in any case, this is an act of faith, and it doesn't matter if these statues represented some pagan deities, because that's what they are. Pachamama is a pagan deity, but they said, oh, they are just ruthless robbers who went into a church and did an act of faith. I think that these people have been very courageous. I support their actions, and I think that they did the right thing, because Pachamama doesn't have any place within the Catholic nomenclature. Of course, if we go in South America, we know that for many centuries they have tried to accumulate the figure of Pachamama with the figure of the Virgin Mary. But they are two completely different things. So, of course, traditional Catholics are outraged. It seems that the person that could have commissioned this act is actually the infamous, at least for the Vatican, Viganò, the archbishop who went against the Pope last year over and over again, and who is now in hiding. I mean, he's living in hiding, fearing for his own life. And this was a guy who used to be one of the top people within the Vatican before he rebelled to Pope Francis.
So I'm hearing you say all this, and I'm trying to boil it down to say, well, what is, you know, why would the Catholic Church be doing this? Why would the Pope be involved with this? You know, there's an agenda afoot. You know, everything is very highly considered before they do anything really in these sort of ceremonies. And so I'm theorizing here, is this the Vatican signaling to indigenous populations in the Amazon or anywhere to say, hey, look, we're okay to bring in some of your rituals. We're open arms. Come in to get into some of that leadership, get them on board. And as you're talking about at leozagami.com, oh, you've got these fires in the Amazon. Well, the indigenous people are sick of living there. Let's cut them a deal. You burn down this forest, and we can help you out in the long run. And then that formula could be repeated over and over, essentially. I mean, is that kind of what you think maybe is being signaled right here by the Vatican?
I don't think that's the way it is. I mean, as you know, Owen, I'm a guy who has lived inside and out. And so I can tell you one thing, that during this Pan-Amazon Synod, the traditional forces who are in Rome, represented, for example, by my friend Michael Boris of Church Militant or LifeSite News and other clever journalists who are trying to put through the fact that this is outrageous what's going on, and that this synod might eventually bring a schism. This is what is happening now in Rome. There is a big fear that this whole situation could lead to a schism in the church, a new schism. So, I mean, that's why all lights are pointed on Rome at the moment. This act, this gesture made at Santa Maria in Transpontina by taking these statues is so important and so symbolic.
You're only going to get this type of intel right here, ladies and gentlemen, from Leo Zagami. And again, follow all of his news at leozagami.com. We also sell his books at InfoWarsStore.com. Guys, pull that up. I think we still have some copies left. I'm not sure. Have we sold out of Leo's book yet, guys? I think we still have some copies left. Hey, there's one of his books right there. Pope Francis, The Last Pope. The Last Pope. So we're running out of Leo's books, ladies and gentlemen. We are running out of Leo's books at InfoWarsStore.com. So take advantage. Confessions of an Illuminati, Volume 3. I believe that's his latest. That's your latest book, right, Leo?
Well, actually, it's not the latest, but one of the latest. You know, I'm a very prolific writer, Owen, so I always come up with new books. And so my latest one is volume 6.66, dedicated to Cyber Satan, which is going to be the hot topic next year in the Vatican, when they're going to finally discuss the human brain-computer interface that will...
But Leo, they already have. I've got the story right here. Scientists fuse brains with AI implants to give people superhuman intelligence. They're already rolling this out. There's a doctor who's dying who says, I'm going to merge with machine. Of course, we know about what's the former Google guy, the big transhumanist over there who wants to avenge his father's death. Yeah, Ray Kurzweil. Thank you.
And what is happening is, well-defined in my latest book, volume 6.66, which is dedicated to Cyber Satan. But next year in the Vatican, they're actually going to be dedicating a whole other synod to this topic. So it's going to be one step further into mayhem and chaos after, of course, enduring their climate change activism, after promoting paganism. Now, next year is the moment of Cyber Satan. We can all wait for...
Are these books available at leozagami.com?
Of course, they are available, and people should get them to know a little bit more about what we have discussed today in depth.
And by the way, this is a two-pronged issue, folks. Not only is it with them trying to do the fake AI, you can live forever, that's totally fake. You'll just be trapped in hell. They're also doing human testing on this, and we don't know anything that's going on. So that's kind of a beneath the surface type of thing. Leo Zagami, always a pleasure. LeoZagami.com. Thank you so much, Leo, for coming on short notice today. Great breakdown of the story coming out of the Vatican. But folks, seriously, InfoWarsStore.com, limited availability on Leo's books. So if you want to get them from InfoWarsStore.com, go there during this break and get Leo's books.
Infowars.com/show. Making talk radio great again. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Race on over to InfoWarsStore.com to take advantage of the big sales. Everything must go at InfoWarsStore.com. Free shipping store-wide. Huge discounts. And I'm telling you, folks, if you're not supplementing, but you want to, but you haven't really found something you like or you understand or that's cost-effective, the 8-pack power stack from InfoWarsStore.com is the one. So get started supplementing in your life. The 8-pack power stack is on sale right now. I'm telling you, the leading competitors, similar products right now, are going to go for $120 a box. This is $30 right now. It's 75% off. So you won't beat that deal. Don't even try. You're going to waste time. Just go to InfoWarsStore.com, save yourself some time, and get the best supplement stack at the best price. It's at InfoWarsStore.com right now, part of the Everything Must Go sale. Free shipping store-wide. Free shipping store-wide. All right, my next guest has actually been on the show at least once before, maybe twice, and the mainstream news likes to make a story out of him every time he's on the scene executing his Second Amendment right, which I think he's doing right now. So Thomas Bartram is on air, I believe, from a gun range. And so you may have seen Thomas on Drudge or in some news after the Trump rally where he was executing his Second Amendment right. And, of course, he had a armored vest on. And so he was arrested, and mainstream news ran a bunch of stories about him. But he broke no laws, and the news spun this story in many different ways. We'll talk about that. So Thomas joins me now. Thomas, are you at the gun range?
Yes, that is correct, Owen. I am currently at the G2 gun range and in Sugar, outside of Sugarland. It's a quiet afternoon, not a lot of people here, and I just thought, you know, what better way to talk about the Second Amendment than come here and enjoy my right to just come here, not have to fill out any, not have to have my guns here like the Democrats want. I should have to leave my gun here and check them out when I want to shoot them. Take my guns from my house, come here to the gun range, and fire off a couple rounds, like every American should be doing right now.
So you're actually literally live at the gun range right now. Are you in one of the booths?
I am outside of one of the booths. I'm having to switch out my defensive ammo for my target ammo at the moment, so I'm just loading up a clip right now.
Well, I want to be very clear about one thing, because this was kind of the way they first tried to spin this. You were not part of the protest group that was there protesting for the Kurds. You were not part of that protest group at all.
That is a negative, no.
Because when this story first came out, they were spinning it saying, a Trump protester protesting his removal of troops from Syria, standing with the Kurds. And so they kind of tried to move that to make Trump look bad. And then they said, oh, wait, that doesn't really work. So we'll try to make the guy who had the gun look bad. And then that didn't really work because you didn't break any laws. So the story just kind of went away. But I just wanted to make that clear, because a lot of people thought that, oh, look, Trump is so bad. You got protesters out here because he's removing troops and having the Kurds slaughtered. But you had nothing to do with that.
No, I hadn't been there for more than I was standing there for like 10 seconds before they were all over me. I got to the Trump rally. I was trying to find Alex. I ran straight to the American Airlines Center, and I just saw this big group of people there protesting something. And I was like, all right, I was trying to figure out what side they were on. Are these pro-Trump? Are these the counter-protesters? You know, I didn't know for sure what they were doing. But, you know, before I, you know, knew anything or could figure anything out, I was already being, you know, put in cuffs and disarmed and stripped down. So that's that.
All right. Well, I know that you've been having to deal with that, and so we don't have to get into too much detail there as far as, you know, security measures and people wanting to talk to you. But you've been to many Trump events. You've always been peaceful. You didn't break any laws at this one either. You own all your firearms legally. You possess them legally. And so that was just pretty much the story, was what happened there on the scene.
Yep. That's basically it.
All right, so it looks like you're about to start firing. What are you shooting now? What are you shooting today?
Well, here's what I got. What I'm working with right now. They won't let me fire any. I brought my what y'all have probably seen before me carrying. Let me whip it out. My big old 308 HK91. But you know, this was the closest thing I had here at the house. But they won't let me fire anything bigger in 308 at the moment. Let me get this all unhooked here. Yeah, so I brought this guy, but I'm not going to be shooting that today.
You know, I don't know. Here, wait a second. Yeah, what do you got there? You're about to shoot right there?
Okay, so this is what I have here. I have my Ruger 10/22 with a 100-round drum, and I got my my M9 right here. So that's what we're going to be shooting today.
So I don't. Has anybody ever done a live gun range shooting on the air before? This could be new ground right here.
I don't know.
All right. Well, why don't you put the phone down? Why don't you put the phone down and try to get a shot of yourself or of the target? Let's do this. Is live from the gun range here. A safe and responsible gun owner executing his Second Amendment right here, and so we're going to do it live. We're live at the gun range right now, ladies and gentlemen. So let's put on a display here.
Well, it looks like we're at about 7 yards here, because otherwise it's going to take forever to reel that thing back in. So let's just go ahead and get started. reel that in here and see what we got.
All right, so that's how that's done. All right, we're reeling it live. This is live, not doctored. So if he missed every shot, he can't do anything about it. All right, the target is
center mass, and I fired some shots at the head. So this is what we're working with right here. Let me see how I can get that. So there's three shots to the head, and there's a bullseye there. So
all right. The crew's giving you a round of applause right now.
That's actually the first time I fired that ammo out of that particular firearm. That's lead-free ammo. That's something Winchester makes. That's something I've been trying to get into, especially when you're carrying a gun on you all day long. You know, something you don't want is to have lead residues. It gets on your hand. You're eating finger food. It's not something to try to do. But some of the stuff out there is pretty finicky, but that seemed to cycle pretty well. Yeah.
Well, that was great. I don't think that's ever been done. We got live from the gun range here on the War Room. I'm sure someone's going to be pissed off about that. So that's beautiful. But hey, we don't want to take the rest of your day at the gun range. So tell us about Make Your Driveway Great Again, and then get back to shooting.
Well, you know, Make Your Driveway Great Again. You know, I've been doing power washing for a while. Thing I did for that, I was doing cell phone tower climbing for a while. If you actually scroll to the picture to the right, you'll see a picture of that. I was doing that job for about 3 months, and you know, that's something I really enjoyed doing. I really like being outside. You know, it's a great little way to make money, but you know, obviously you're up on those cell towers, you know, you're right up against those 3G, 4G transmitters, and it's just not something I wanted to keep doing. So I came back here to Houston because we were driving all over the country doing that. And I started a little power washing business to make money on the side, you know, while I'm studying programming. So
well, that's great because, and I know, I actually know a couple other people that work on those towers. That's a high risk job. That takes a thrill, somebody that seeks thrills to do that. Gets a little windy up there, sometimes pretty cold too.
It's so peaceful. I mean, when you first do it, there's kind of a thrill element to it, but you know, about a weekend, I mean, it's one of the most peaceful things ever. You're just up there in the sky, and I mean, other than, you know, being massively irradiated by the transmitters, just frying everything, it's very beautiful, very peaceful.
Yeah, that's a great shot. Look at that. So now we've got MakeYourDrivewayGreatAgain.com. So that's where people can find out about your power washing services?
That's correct.
And while he's there, he can also protect you from any potential home invaders as well. You just saw his shooting skills.
I will not show up to your house wearing body armor and open carrying my big rifle and everything, but I do.
Unless they want you to, unless they ask. All right, hey, Thomas, great shooting. That's a live shooting on the War Room today.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Welcome back to the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by InfowarsStore.com, where the Everything Must Go special is happening. I am going to do a news blitz here before we're joined by the CNN whistleblower, Carrie Porch, who helped Project Veritas with exposed CNN. Really amazing stuff there. He's about to be joining us. I'm going to do a news blitz, but before we get to that, though, the Democrats, well, Hillary Clinton, and then, of course, the media lapdogs are doubling and tripling and quadrupling down on this narrative that Tulsi Gabbard is a Russian asset. Wow. Now, who told you first? Nowhere near the magnitude, but in a similar vein, Tulsi Gabbard was the Donald Trump of the Democrat Party. And so now it's all coming to fruition. She's being censored on social media. They're calling her a Russian asset. They're trying to keep her off the debate stage. Now you get it. Now, Tulsi Gabbard is a leftist wacko on some things, but I do think in overall her heart is in the right place. and she's obviously the best that Democrats have to offer, which doesn't matter because all the Democrats want is Trump removed. So if you can't open your big mouth and say how bad Trump is all day long, seems that the Democrat Party doesn't want you. But why would Hillary Clinton be attacking Tulsi Gabbard? And then why would Tulsi Gabbard be hitting back? It's all very interesting, folks. I think Hillary Clinton really wants to get into this race badly. Really, really badly. But it's so bad. She's in such bad shape. I mean, she looks like death warmed over. She just lost to the same guy. So there's zero political capital really for her to get back in, except for the fact that she has a bunch of money. But how is Tulsi Gabbard going to handle this? I'm telling you, it's amazing. All these smart politicians have no brains. If Tulsi Gabbard was smart, she would team up with Marianne Williamson and they would run on a third-party ticket. But I think Tulsi, A, doesn't get it, and B, may even kind of feel bad doing that to the Democrat Party, figuring that'll just put Trump in office too easily. But why not, Tulsi? Look, the Democrats don't want you. Don't you get it? You might as well run. You might as well have a real bid to be president if you want to be president. Because going for the Democrat bid isn't going to work. They're going to squeeze you out, as she's seen. I didn't see this, but apparently this was from last week. A clothing company erects billboard of Marine Corps vet hog-tying Trump in front of the White House. Okay. You also have Barbara Streisand shares photo of Nancy Pelosi killing Trump. And the images of Trump impaled on Nancy Pelosi's high heel. So these are the same leftists that cried over President Trump in a meme shooting a bunch of fake news agencies. And I can't remember, though, in that video, did he actually was there any depiction of him shooting another person, or was it all fake news logos? Or were there may have been people involved in that, too. I can't remember. But they all complained about that. Even they do all kinds of art depicting Trump being dead nonstop, assassinating Trump, calling for the assassinating Trump, saying he's going to die, and all of that glory. And this is even after they complained about the meme. So they sit here, complain about a meme, and then continue to depict themselves killing Trump. The epitome of a double standard right there, if there ever was one. Wall Street Journal. InfoWars told you this, I think, last week. So we're next week's news today on this story. NBA arenas prepare for Hong Kong protest. Yeah, I told you that. Several NBA policies state that signs bearing political messages are not tolerated at games. Most arenas also have security regulations that clearly state that any such signs brought in by fans will be confiscated and that disruptive fan behavior is cause for ejection. So they're trying to get in front of this, folks. They're trying to get in front of this. Now, the official policy says you can have this with a political message, and that's it. You know, because this can't get on TV. So a big sign is going to have you removed from the arena. But they're supposed to allow you in with a sign that's this big, like a normal piece of paper. And as long as there's nothing offensive on that, as long as your behavior isn't considered rude or disruptive, they're supposed to allow you to stay. But you probably know how that's going to go if these protests really start getting out of control, which I think there's going to be some protests, but maybe not that much. It's all about the momentum. If it keeps happening, then it'll get bigger and bigger. But if it dies, it'll just go away. Transgender cyclist Rachel McKinnon keeps smashing women's records. From Breitbart.com. Hold on a second. Let me just correct this headline. Okay, there it is. Headline corrected. Man cyclist keeps smashing women's records, because that's what it really is. And so, yes, all the women's weightlifting records are being smashed by men. Cyclist records are being smashed by men. Actually, literally, physical women are being smashed by men, by a rugby player who's out there battering women around. I mean, it really is such a joke. Because you got to understand, if I was of the mindset where I just wanted to be an athlete, a celebrated athlete, and I was desperate enough and demented enough, all I would do is just turn into I would pretend to be a girl. What is this now? Transgender model outraged after porn offer retracted due to model's penis. It's so out of control. I get that off the screen. Man cyclist keeps smashing women's records. Pull up the big rugby player that's like 6'6", like 300 pounds, just, I mean, mauling females. I mean, seriously, it's a joke. It's like, final score, 70-0. And you're like, wow, that team must be really good. And then you just see there's a giant on the field. And no one can bring her down, him down. Excuse me. Yeah, baby. I just chopped my wiener off and put some breasts on my chest, and I'm good to go. Yeah, I played rugby last week, and I literally broke 9 girls' bones. I played the whole game. The other rugby team can't even field a team anymore because I injured all of them. So this rugby player comes to town, knocks out the entire female team, and then they have to cancel their whole schedule, and then his team wins by default because no team can even field a team because she mauled them all. They're all dead. Transgender MMA fighter breaks skull of her female opponent. Wow, stunning. But that's what I'm saying. If I was of the mindset and all I wanted to do was be a celebrated athlete, you don't even have to chop. Do you even have to chop your dingling off? I don't even know if you do. Yeah, a transgender league. Well, that would make the most sense, but not even that. Seriously, though. I mean, what do you want? Just, oh, wow, you know, I couldn't make it in the men's league, so I'm just going to play in the women's league. I really want to be a celebrated athlete, but I can't play with men, so I'm just going to ruin it for the women. And that's how this is going to go if it's not stopped. I mean, look at this guy. He's just mauling women. Just trucking them. I mean, women play with different sized balls. I mean, it's just not even fair. The women's 3-point line is shorter than the men's. I mean, what else is there? Seriously, the big one is golf. I'm telling you, I should just do it. I'll go out there as a bearded golfer. I'll be the bearded lady on the golf course. I'll tee off from the women's tees. It's like 300 yards to the green. I'll be hitting eagles. I'll go from I'm lucky if I hit 90 to I'm hitting par. Well, maybe not. But maybe after some practice. The women's roller derby, now they actually might whoop my ass. I don't know about that one. I have no interest in that. But golf, I would be down to be the first transgender female golfer. They'd kick me off the tour, though. What? Who's that? Who is that marching on my territory? I can drive a ball really far. Transgender golfer Bobby Lancaster. This is BS. Aims for LPGA Tour. My dreams, my hopes and my dreams have been devastated. Oh, I don't know, folks. You know what? He wasn't good enough to make any noise. I'll be the first one.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
Project Veritas is doing the work of American heroes, and the 1-2 punch of InfoWars and Project Veritas is devastating to the globalists, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you. And so the latest from Project Veritas is the Expose CNN specials, which another part 4 is about to come out. But let's just go to some of these clips. Here's a preview And Carrie Porch, who is the whistleblower from Inside CNN, is joining us in the next segment. Here's just a preview of Exposed CNN from Project Veritas.
Morning, everybody. Okay, let's start with Washington, please. I don't care about the MSNBC event, okay? I don't care about them. Let's just stay very focused on impeachment.
My name is Carrie Porch. I'm a satellite uplink technician. I'm a contractor at the CNN Washington, D.C. Bureau.
But Jeff Zucker,
yeah,
basically president of CNN, has a personal vendetta against Trump. It's not going to be positive for Trump. He hates him. He's going to be negative.
I decided to wear a hidden camera. I decided to secretly record the 9 a.m. rundown call meetings, and it's basically run by Jeff Zucker, the president of CNN.
We're moving towards impeachment. I mean, don't, like, you know, we shouldn't pretend, oh, this is going one way, and so all these moves are moves towards impeachment.
When I came to work at CNN, I mean, it was my dream job, and that dream actually just turned into a nightmare.
So I
he was calling Fox News fake news and a propaganda machine. And with what I saw, I'm like, that's pretty much what CNN was. Like, it's just pumping out propaganda.
The fake conspiracy nonsense that Fox has spread for years is now deeply embedded in American society. And frankly, that is non-destructive to America. And I do not think we should be scared to say so.
I just wanted to own where they're at. Like, hey, if we lean left, cool. Let's just say we lean left. If we lean right, let it be known. But again, it just dovetails back into that thing. I just want people to have the information to make up their own minds.
So there is Carrie Porch, who is joining us in the next segment. Again, he was, I mean, critical to this Exposed CNN Project Veritas release. All that footage coming from him in such a timely manner, and he's going to be joining us next. But we've got some other clips that we're going to air as well, ladies and gentlemen. But it's really incredible that as this rolls out and it comes out how anti-Trump CNN is, and it's that attitude that drives their narratives, drives their news coverage, this all comes out. And then that evening, CNN has the presidential Democrat debates, and they roll their rejoin, the most trusted name in news, which, of course, has been totally devastated from inside CNN. So whether it's Van Jones in a hot mic during a street confrontation where he's just being casual, saying, yeah, the Russian thing, it's a nothing burger, it's fake news, we just do that because we hate Trump. Which, by the way, they're not talking about Russia anymore, are they? Oh, wait, yeah, they are, but now it's Tulsi Gabbard. But it's the same thing, folks. By the way, President Trump has now stood up for Tulsi Gabbard. He was asked about it. He said, Tulsi's not a Russian agent. So President Trump stands up for Tulsi Gabbard more than the Democrat Party and their media like CNN. But Carrie Porch knows all about that. He joins us in the next segment, the hero from the Exposed CNN Project Veritas release. Final hour of the InfoWars.com War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com, where we have the Everything Must Go sale happening right now. Free shipping store-wide, deep discounts across the board on all the products at InfoWarsStore.com. Well, it is an honor to be joined by Carrie Porch. You have seen his great heroic work from Project Veritas, the undercover cameras, the video, the audio, part 4 of Exposed CNN coming out soon. And I believe there's even going to be more after that. And so Kerry Porch has been recording this stuff for a long time. Kerry joins us now. Kerry, thank you so much for joining us today.
Owen, thanks for having me. It's truly an honor to be on here.
Well, it's incredible work that you got, man. I mean, you got the footage, you got the audio. I'm sure that's not what you expected to be doing when you took the contract with CNN, but yet that is the work that will really end up changing the world, and I know it changed your world. So just a couple logistical questions about that work. How long were you at CNN and recording this, compiling all this footage? How long did all this take you?
So I started I was a contractor for CNN. I always want to put that stipulation out there. I got hired and moved to DC for the job in June of 2017, and obviously left earlier this week for obvious reasons, you could see. But I did not record or start doing anything like that until literally the last 6 to 8 months of my job there.
So this is about half a year's work of footage and audio and everything that you've put together that's Project Veritas is now rolling out with their Exposed CNN project?
Correct. As the tapes say, I'm sure you've probably seen them. I came there as a fully entrenched member on the left, registered Democrat, came to my dream job. Didn't quite pan out the way I thought it would from what I saw in the early rundown calls, even, months or even a year or so before I started even thinking about recording. And then it just devolved into there and me wanting to do something to protect the Republic. And I found James O'Keefe and Veritas at the CPAC of 2019 in February or March of this year.
So that's wild. How do you end up at a CPAC event? Because you were a registered Democrat, you would have considered yourself on that side of the aisle, probably not even thinking about attending a CPAC event. How did you end up there?
Well, just like all the outlets, CNN covers supposed to cover like pretty much anything and everything newsworthy. And you can imagine that CPAC or any right-leaning conference is definitely of note, especially, since the president speaks there every year. So it's always, it's always advantageous for any network to want to cover something that the president is, where you don't have to be, a pool feed where everybody can get in there. Granted, at the time, my job had a decent amount of downtime in it, so I was able to, consume a lot of content and research a lot of things on my own. When I started, hearing things that didn't kind of rub me the right way, and I was able to kind of dig in and essentially start the journey of red pilling myself while I was at work. Yourself, Candace Owens, Crowder, all those guys were definitely, part of that ecosystem that kind of aided me in that process. So, when CPAC came up and my name rolled up to cover it, I was actually secretly kind of excited to be around some of these people that, I was watching for months at a time up until then. And, provided the perfect opportunity. I don't know if you probably saw any of the other interviews, but at that time at CPAC, I was ready to literally quit over what I was seeing inside the bureau. And then I saw, obviously O'Keefe doing some mini interviews with Epic Times or Blaze or any of those outlets. And, I wanted to go see him and on stage right after that. And that's when they debuted the Facebook Insider video, and it really spoke to my heart. And that's when I decided to at least go talk to this guy and kind of see what was going on. And, we kind of traded phone calls and texts and emails for, a good month or two before, any action was agreed upon by the both of us.
I have been watching your interviews, and so I'm trying to ask you questions I haven't heard anybody ask you yet. So I'm trying to keep it a little bit fresh here. At any point in this time, did you feel worried that maybe somebody at CNN could have been on to you? Were you worried maybe somebody may have been spying on you, monitoring your texts? I know that obviously there's a trust barrier there at the beginnings with you and James. You talked about that earlier. Eventually, those barriers broke down when you said, hey, look, I'm ready to go. Let's do this. James said, okay, here we go. Here's the deal. You got the footage. You rolled it out. And now here we are. Was there ever a worry? Was there ever a concern? Or was it just like you just went in like ready to go, fired up, let's tackle this thing? Or was there any reservations?
I mean, there was definitely reservations and fear during the initial and middle, and even definitely some days that, I was worried that, maybe I was kind of, being a little too obvious or trying to remain myself and not really, change the game up and just ask questions that I normally would. And yeah, I mean, I'm still scared now, but there were a couple times where I honestly thought I was, where I did burn myself, where maybe someone got wind and told higher or something like that. I mean, that was always a fear. And the team at Veritas told me that was kind of normal, that everyone has those fears where, you know, they were looking right into the device and they have to know. And you know, I talked to several of the guys that will remain unnamed for obvious reasons, like, oh my God, I'm burned. They look right into the device and I'm going to get fired. And I'm like, no, they didn't. And we watched the tape and it was just kind of a casual glance and stuff. It's just kind of crazy when you're in the moment, you know, in real time, just think the whole world is ending right around you in certain moments, you know?
So that's amazing. So it was first maybe some paranoia, maybe some nervousness, but once you kind of tackled those demons and you realized, okay, I really am in this now. I really am getting this footage. And you just kept compiling it. You were even at the meetings the next day after the first release.
Well, not the next day after the release. I was there the day of, the morning of, that last...
Oh, okay, the same day, yeah.
Yeah, that last 9 a.m. call. I mean, I know the James put that the call out there, having Zucker's initial reaction to the Monday meeting, like, hey, Veritas has got something coming out. It's probably nothing. Just we're not worried, you know, yada, yada, yada. And yeah, I was there that morning, you know, rushing out to get that particular clip to hire, to upload. And then, you know, I knew when it was going down, like, you know, we knew that day it was going down at noon. So I was just trying to get it up there, get it uploaded and, pull the ripcord of the parachute and get out. You know, that was kind of the goal at that time.
Well, I'm sure the last week or so has been crazy for you. Obviously, CNN terminated the contract that you had with them to do the satellite uplinking. And I'm sure that there's been some other difficulties. I would imagine it's not going to be hard for you to find work. You're a hero to many. You obviously have a lot of skills. But, man, I'll tell you this. I think you should write a book. This is an incredible story. I would write a book like an insider's tale, what it was like being inside CNN, the process of your politics changing over the time, learning these things from the inside, what people can't see. I mean, I think just from what I've heard in the short 10 minutes, I know you're going to continue on with us here. I got a lot more questions for you. I mean, this is book-worthy stuff to me.
Well, it's definitely an interesting thing. And you know, I love the entrepreneurial spirit you have. And who knows, I'm entertaining certainly any plausible ideas that come our way. And I just can't thank the supporters and readers and listeners of various outlets, especially this one, that have reached out in messaging and obviously financial aid as well. It's an absolute insane, in a good way, how this thing has gone down. Because obviously leading up to it, the week leading up to it, you know, we were all over the place emotionally, like, you know, are we doing the right thing? Are we not? And then seeing all the love and support afterwards, it definitely, in a weird way, validated all the hard work. Granted, my family and I are still a little scared and trepidatious of what may happen next legally and everything like that. But this story had to be told. It's bigger than all of us put together. The bad part is, I'm sure you heard my talk with Alex earlier, is that the GoFundMe was great for taking care of my family and I. I mean, obviously, we're never going to turn away any donations, obviously. But my mission now is to basically help the people that, you know, by my hand, indirectly or directly, lost their jobs because this expose. I mean, that's what's keeping me up at night right now.
About to go to break here. Stick around with us. But folks, this is an exact example of what we need. He saw the Facebook whistleblower and then he came forward. So now he's going to inspire the next whistleblower.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Carrie Porch is with us here on the Infowars.com War Room. Carrie did heroic work exposing what's going on inside CNN. And I think that the big philosophical hurdle here, Carrie, for yourself and for other people to understand is that when Jeff Zucker is coming out making phone calls at 9 a.m. in the morning saying, hey, we're for impeachment, when insiders at CNN know that the higher-ups at CNN have a personal vendetta against Trump, so they're going to aim their news in a certain light to try to get him out of office. Okay, well, you know, like you said, if they said, hey, look, this is who we are. We're left-leaning. We don't like Trump. This is the colors we wear. Okay, fine. But they try to act like it's neutral, fair reporting right down the center. Like, people know I like Trump. People know I go out and do reports wearing a MAGA hat. I don't try to hide that. I'd still like to think that when I report on news stories, I come from a neutral perspective, but I'm not hiding my colors. So talk about the nature of, hey, I expected CNN to just kind of report fairly. Yeah, sure, maybe because of my politics, it leans this way because that's what I think is right. That's what I think the fairness is, justice is, the truth is. But when you saw that CNN was biased, how did that change your mentality of how they approach news?
Well, I heard it almost immediately. I mean, I always say, just to be conservative about the estimate, about the first 90 days is when I started kind of just hearing things that kind of made my antenna go up a little bit. You know, at the time, I was obviously just a never-Trumper and whatnot, and wanted to come there to, you know, do my part to spread the news and resist and everything that comes with that, you know. And keep in mind my mindset at the time where, you know, I was like, I didn't like Trump myself, but I was like, well, he's at the time doing a bad enough job. He doesn't need our help to make him look bad. But then I would hear on those 9 a.m. calls, before I really knew what those were, I would hear, you know, people that were obviously high up in the food chain somewhere talking about, hey, we need to frame the story this way, or make it, you know, tilt it or frame it a little bit this way to fit this particular narrative. And I'm like, wait a minute, what are we doing? I mean, why are we having our finger on the scale in any way, shape, or form? I mean, you saw on the tape, the gentleman, Patrick Davis, was just idolizing Bernie Shaw, where back in the day with True Journalism, where, you know, if there was any shred of, you know, partiality one way or the other, then he would throw it back in the journalist's face and, you know, rewrite it to be an objective-based piece. So that's what I thought I was coming there to do. And just all throughout that, like, having my mindset changed over what I thought was the case to evidences now that I'm seeing on a daily basis, it was a wild mentality shift to basically turned up my previous worldview, just seeing it from the inside. And I was only a low-level guy, but I still had access to, you know, the 9 a.m. rundowns because they were always on speakerphone.
And I think you can always expect to see, you know, some loose wires, some frayed wires, what have you, in an insider perspective. But when you find out they're fraying the wires intentionally, they're trying to start a spark fire here and make that the story. And right. I think that changes everything. But, you know, talk about this process, because I have to say, I mean, whether it's me or Alex Jones or Steven Crowder or some of the other great people out there, but you said, you know, you found InfoWars when you were working there as an alternative news source. So I'm just curious, had you heard of InfoWars before, or how did you come across these alternative news sources that ultimately kind of opened your mind to different perspectives?
Well, it came from just a handful of, you know, of really intelligent, open-minded people that, you know, I met not only in person here, but, you know, on the internet, some friends from back home. They obviously wish to remain nameless, and I'm respecting their wishes, but some people that, you know, really liked me from the days, you know, the days have passed, and really wanted to challenge me on some beliefs and views I had. And it's just, they were listening to all the people like, you know, like yourself, you know, the Crowders, Tim Pools, you know, all those other indie journalists that, you know, from both sides of the aisle, but again, they own where they're at. Just like you wear your MAGA hat in public. You know, if I walked up to you, I'm like, cool, I'm going to get, you know, a Trump or right-leaning perspective. But again, we know where you're coming from. Before we go into it, you're not trying to just say, hey, this is a completely down the middle, like, here's where I'm at. That's all we're asking for. But yes, this handful of people were able to sit down with me in respectable manners, both online and in person, just have some great conversations over months, and introduce me to different sources of information that at once I, you know, thought were, you know, scams and were brainwashed to just offhand dismiss, you know, InfoWars being one of them. So, I mean, I'm relatively new to listening and consuming, obviously with a critical eye and a critical mindset, you know, kind of fact checking everything myself. But, you know, yeah, I was blatantly against any form of independent media before these people came along. And now I'm glad that now I'm watching a lot more, consuming a lot more independent media that, in a lot of times, gets it right way more than, you know, the propped up mainstream media outlets that YouTube is pushing and the mainstreams are pushing.
Well, and yeah, that's the other thing, too. They try to make it more difficult to even find content like this anywhere. So unless you know about InfoWars.com, it makes it tougher. Of course, I don't know if you ever saw Oliver Darcy or Brian Stelter. They love to try to keep us unavailable. But We're speaking with Carrie Porch here, again, the hero behind all the footage that Project Veritas is releasing, their exposed CNN special. Carrie, was there ever a moment, was there a singular moment or event that really caused you to cross a threshold philosophically or psychologically, mentally with all of this, where you were kind of maybe in a middle ground, or was it just everything eventually pushed you over the edge?
I can say unequivocally, it was basically that old adage where like a singular grain of rice is nothing but pile up enough grains. I think Tim Pool used it on his interview on Joe Rogan with Jack Dorsey and Vidya, the PR lawyer. I can't remember her title, but that's pretty much what it was. Like all these little glaring little, you know, grains of rice here and there, and just eventually it just tipped the scale and I couldn't take it anymore. And I just realized the gravity of my situation, that like we're coming up on, you know, election season coming up, and like I was positioned in a very, very unique position in point in space and time to just be able to do something to at least try to tip the scales back toward neutrality and just let people know, at least open their eyes to basically what they may be consuming, whatever the outlet is, but to basically hopefully get a critical eye for whatever they're trying to consume and then make an informed decision. That's all we were after.
Now, in the next segment, I want to keep you for one more segment. I'd like to kind of get into your brain, where you maybe stand now politically with this life-changing experience. I want to do that in the next segment. But folks, you don't really push this, but folks, GoFundMe.com/ExposeCNN if you do want to help Carrie out. But Carrie, just in the last 60 seconds, you were motivated by the Facebook whistleblower. Would you like to motivate other whistleblowers to come forward like you have?
Absolutely. That's the goal of this whole thing is basically, James O'Keefe and the Veritas people are amazing. They made it so easy to come forward. They took care of myself, my family, and obviously pushed the GoFundMe and stuff for that. That's the goal, to have these conversations with people across all outlets. If you see some malfeasance, please come forward. ProjectVeritas.com/brave. Private servers and everything. I promise you that everything's confidential. They took care of me, and they'll definitely take care of you to make both sides feel as comfortable as possible.
Well, I got to say, it is an honor having you here, Carrie. It really is. I've interviewed a lot of Project Veritas whistleblowers over the years. You guys really are heroes, so we really do salute you here. In the next segment, though, I'm going to get into Carrie's head a little bit. Where does he stand politically now? Does he like Trump? Does he like another candidate? Does he watch Fox News? Who knows? What does Carrie Porch do now to get his political news? Where does he stand politically? I'd like to find that out with you on the other side of this break.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. This broadcast contains subject matter that might offend liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
All right, I've got a big announcement coming up in the next segment, so make sure you stick around. But this is the last segment with Carrie Porch. Really is an honor. And when he said that he's been listening to this broadcast to get his news, it really is an honor because I look at Carrie as a true American hero. As he said, he did this to save the Republic. And so, we may disagree on things, but we're not trying to deceive anybody. And that's what I really appreciate about Carrie here, showing you the inside source, the inside baseball of what goes on behind the scenes at CNN. But Carrie, you've spoken about how you came in as a registered Democrat, a Bernie bro, and you say your politics have changed since then, but you haven't really gotten specific on those details. So, where do your politics lie now? Let's start with the basic question. The 2020 election coming up, are you a Trump voter now, or are you still observing the Democrat process?
I had to answer it eventually, right? So,
am I the first to ask?
You were the first to directly ask, yes. So, let's just say, yeah, way to go, Owen. Just a real quick recap. I will answer your question, I promise, okay? I grew up in rural Alabama, you know, guns, God, and GOP, you know, found libertarianism in college. Then after college, you know, I became a Democrat. And then especially at the time, wasn't a word for it, but, you know, far left type of Democrat, you know, especially with Bernie and company. had a lot of good times running a campaign for him, or, you know, door knocking and everything like that. But yeah, working at CNN has definitely pushed me back to the center right. And I forgot who I replied to on Twitter earlier today, but I'm starting to lean more right with each day, just basically what I'm seeing and stuff. So to answer your question, I went from a never Trumper to basically in 2020, unless something drastic happens, I'm pulling the lever for Trump. Now, there are definitely obviously some things I don't like about him, but, you know, doing my own research, especially working at CNN, has definitely led me down that path to, you know, wear the red hat, so to speak. I always called myself an undercover red hat in the building. And I'm not the only one. There is actually, I've had the conversation at least 5 or 10 times with people that not only are either closet Republicans or definitely closet Trump supporters that are just fearful for their job. It's a great groupthink stranglehold that the company has on its employees. Like, yeah, we like diversity of everything except thought. So if you even think about leaning right, or as Lord heaven forbid, voting for Trump, then you're either going to be stonewalled or, you know, not advancing your career. And it's, but that's kind of where I stand. And barring anything crazy, like, I don't really like any of the Democrats running right now, and I don't really see any decent challengers on the right side of the aisle. So barring anything substantial, like scandals, anything like that, yeah, I'm pulling the lever for Trump in 2020.
Well, you just made headlines as far as I'm concerned, Kerry. CNN, former CNN contractor employee, now CNN whistleblower, says he went from never Trump Bernie to considering voting for Trump in 2020. I think you just made news headlines here. But speaking about some of the other employees there at CNN, I mean, we've seen the Google whistleblowers, we've seen the Facebook whistleblowers, of course, now you, the CNN whistleblower. It all seems to be kind of the same thing, groupthink, internal struggles to deal with their own politics, worried they might lose their job if they don't toe the party line of far leftism. Is that going on inside CNN? Are there, let's say, closet conservatives inside CNN? Are there people doubting perhaps what CNN is up to inside? I mean, what's going on inside there as far as the political thoughts of people?
Well, I mean, we've all seen those reports come out. I forget exactly the name of it, but, you know, what was that thing that came out, you know, whatever many years ago, where someone ran the voter registrations and found that, what, 9 out of 10 people or journalists were registered Democrats, and, you know, they're all supposed to be neutral, right? But yes, I've had the conversations with several people inside, not only my bureau, but other outlet bureaus, you know, three-letter agencies or outlets that, yeah, you know, like, I either voted for Trump or I'm a Republican, but I can't say it because I'll lose my job, or I'll stonewall or be, you know, static in my upward growth. And it just, it fascinates me that, like, diversity is pushed everywhere, and I get where they're coming from, but it's like, if you have any type of opposing opinion, then it's taken as some type of HR violation, and everyone's just afraid to speak, you know, in a group setting or where they lie. I mean, I've had this conversation when I covered the Charlottesville riots that, you know, some of the guys on the ground, obviously names withheld, they're like, yeah, I mean, you know, I voted for Trump, or I'm actually a Republican, but I can never say that to my coworkers for fear of retaliation. And I'm just speaking on my own experiences, but that's what I have to say. And it's just sad. I mean, again, I don't care where people lie politically. Let's have a discussion and walk away with our differences, shaking hands and having beers. Like, that's all I want for us, is to talk and, you know, love our similarities and the differences.
Well, and that's the key here too. You know, we've had people that come to work at InfoWars that aren't conservatives or Republicans. In fact, I don't know if there's any, there may be registered Republicans here. I'm not one of them. But we don't, you know, if somebody, we have liberals that work here, we don't bully them. They're not afraid because they have different politics that they can't have upward growth or get credit for their work. So it's really odd. But I think that that's kind of the mentality of the left right now in general, is just this whole bullying thing. And I'm curious though, because you said something that I think we're all really desperate for, but my theory is that only one side of the aisle is reaching across looking for common ground. Only one side of the aisle is trying to break bread. Only one side of the aisle is saying, hey, we can disagree, but let's cheers at the end of the night and realize we're still Americans. Do you agree with that analysis? To me, it seems that the left, the never Trumpers, want nothing to do with coming together or any amicable discussion at all.
I agree with you completely, Owen. I mean, you're actually a very good case in point. I mean, I see you out there all the time. I mean, the thing that, one of the many things I love about you is the whole thing where you stood up to that lady. I think it was at the Women's March that, you know, came up and grabbed you just to expose the double standard that, you know, sexual harassment, Me Too goes both ways, or it's supposed to, right? And it's just crazy because that was actually a large part of me kind of modifying my points of view, is that many of my friends that were on the center right, and even right, you know, full-fledged right and stuff, is they would take the time to, I hate to admit it, but take the time to wait out my screeching NPC-ness. I mean, I know you know what that means, to sit down and have a conversation. And when they would bring up points that I couldn't logically refute without, you know, internally screaming, so to speak. And it just forced me to really kind of look inward and kind of see, okay, what do I really believe? Why do I believe it? And what is being fed to me based on where my position is? What am I seeing? And yes, the more tolerant party, for lack of a better words, were those kind of on the right, and were able to desire to have true conversations. I mean, what was it? Shapiro, Knowles, even the Weinsteins, and everything wants to go have these discussions in college campuses. They always have Q&A at the end, but no one wants to say that. They just want to, you know, sound bullhorns and violate fire codes and everything like that. I mean, I only see that going in one direction. And you have to be completely blind not to at least observe that fact. It's just very interesting to me. And that was one of many things, those grains of rice I mentioned earlier, that led to my journey over these last almost 3 years.
Yeah, and sadly, some of it's even getting violent. Obviously, you've seen that as well. It doesn't get covered over there at CNN, but obviously you saw that too. And then probably not seeing them cover it made you question too. But final question for you. We've got 60 seconds left here. A great interview, Kerry. Really looking forward to meeting you in person when you're in studio. With any industry, you know, being behind the scenes really opened your eyes to a lot of stuff. Was there anything else being behind the scenes working for a big news agency like CNN that kind of opened your eyes, that makes you look at news differently?
Absolutely. It dovetails into, I think, one of your questions you alluded to about where do I get my news now, but seeing how the sausage is made, not to quote Hillary Clinton, obviously, but seeing how the sausage is made, it really opened my eyes. And all my friends, when we were in different outlets, you know, in pools together, in news pools, just covering, I kind of heard the same thing in the bullpen, so to speak. And it just led me down that path of independent journalism. So to answer your question earlier, like, I get my news now from, obviously, you know, this channel. I love me some Tim Pool, Jimmy Dore, because I still have some progressive kind of leanings as well. Kyle Kulinski at times, Stephen Crowder.
Oh, you know what, then? We don't want you. Never mind. You can't come back in studio. No, I'm just kidding. We got to go to a break, though. Kerry, amazing stuff, man. You're really an American hero. Such bravery. God bless you and your family. Can't wait to meet you Wednesday. There's his GoFundMe, folks.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
All right, I've got an exciting announcement to make, and I just got to say this. Look, there is a YouTube channel, Red Ice TV, that I wanted to have on last week. We got preempted because we were covering the Trump rally in Dallas, and so I said, hey, we'll have you guys on Monday. Savannah's reached out, and they keep attacking me on Twitter, and I'll give their audience credit, very active audience, because they keep attacking me, but they've not been canceled. They're not being censored. The Jews and the Chi-Coms or the Russians or whoever are not telling me not to have Red Ice TV on. So I just want to be clear. I stand against the censorship of Red Ice TV. I don't know what they've said or haven't said about Alex Jones or InfoWars in the past. I really don't care. We stand for free speech. So I don't know what the deal is with our communication, but they keep tweeting out that we've canceled the interviews and we're censoring them. That's not true. So I just want to correct the record, and they're still welcome to come on. But it's kind of reaching a point now where I'm sick of being attacked about it, that I really just don't even want to put up with it much longer. So we'll give them one more time to come on, but I'm not trying to censor them. But they're still welcome. We stand for their free speech. I'm sure they're great people. It's just sometimes with guests, it's like weird. Like, you can't get them on and coordinate, and then somehow it becomes your fault. You get blamed for it. We deal with that a lot. But this audience of theirs is very active, and so they're getting after me pretty hardcore. So I'm just trying to correct the record. So Savannah, will you reach out to Red Ice TV for the third time to have them on this week? That's a yes. Confirmed. There she is right there. She's typing up the email. So, again, just want to correct the record there. I got a news blitz I got to get to. I got a big story that's at InfoWars.com you won't even believe. Hillary Clinton has gone full. I mean, this is a mafia gangster the likes of which we've probably never seen before. This woman is thirsty for blood. Here's the exciting announcement. I am actually so excited about this. Something the universe has aligned, ladies and gentlemen. And this happened actually, I think, earlier this year in May. And now the universe has aligned again for us. So thank God his providence comes through. You know that we have a flag wave and lay. Oh, my gosh. In fact, I need to retweet that Facebook group. I need to do that to promote that. But we have a flag wave and lay on November 10th. So that's a Sunday before Veterans Day where we're going to go to the state cemetery. I'll be there with some other people. And we're going to put flags on the graves of all the deceased veterans. We do that with a local veterans group every Memorial Day and every Veterans Day. So we're doing that Sunday, November 10th. I hope you can join us for that. The flag wave after the flag lay, I'll announce that location, but it'll be in a bridge in downtown Austin. Stay tuned. We'll eventually put that location out if you want to come. But the flag lay that morning will be at the Texas State Cemetery. Here's the big announcement. The Tent City tailgate, roll B-roll of that, guys, as I'm talking about this. The Tent City tailgate that we had on Saturday was so successful, we're doing it again. We're doing it again. Yes, the crew is excited. That's right. We're doing Tent City tailgate round two. And this is why God's providence works out for us. It's going to be Saturday, November 9th. So that means you can come out, enjoy the Tent City tailgate Saturday, November 9th, and then join us again Sunday morning for the flag lay and flag wave. Seriously, that's just God's providence working out. So it's great when we can double up on events like this, because sometimes people like to travel to come to an InfoWars event, but if it's only one deal, maybe not worth it. But now you can get your money's worth. You come in, Tent City tailgate, November 9th. Tent City tailgate, November 9th. We're doing it again. We're going to do it even bigger this time. Come out, enjoy a cookout. We'll have food and beverages and everything. We'll be streaming, and we're going to have an even bigger crew this time. We'll have all the InfoWars banners up too. So there'll be nice political discussions going on. It'll be outside the UT football stadium. So Tent City tailgate round two, November 9th. And then the InfoWars Honor the Veterans with a local veterans group here, the Nomads. Flag wave and flag lay November 10th that Sunday. So a big InfoWars weekend if you want to come out. We'll be active November 9th and November 10th if you want to come out with us. Yeah, there's some of the great crew here. Here's some of the great interviews we did. There's a big foam MAGA hat. We'll bring that out too. People were coming by our booth, literally taking pictures with the foam MAGA hat in front of our banners. So we're going to do that Saturday, November 9th, and then Sunday, November 10th is the flag lay and flag wave. So if you want to be a part of that, I'm going to make sure to really promote this one up too. And this is going to be kind of a more InfoWars event, if you will. Come out and hang out with us and the crew. So looking forward to doing that. Okay. You know, I may not get to all the news. Remember, I do a press release on my Subscribestar every day, subscribestar.com/Owen-Schroyer. And so you can see all the news aggregation I do there. Yes, I am a total freak show. And so, and that's the funny thing. People always come up to me, do you even read the news? Like, man, if you saw how much news I consume today, you'd probably collapse. But you can see it shorthand, abridged, on my Subscribestar. And folks, it's all possible. The events we do, the cookouts, the live shows that we do, the extended shows, the field reporters, hiring more crew, the documentaries, everything we do, of course, is with your support at InfoWarsStore.com. So I would go over to InfoWarsStore.com right now and take advantage of the Everything Must Go sale. Up to 70% off right now some of the products. But folks, you got to get the air filter for 40% off plus free shipping. Huge special, huge savings. The 8-pack power stack, though, I'm telling you, so many people just hear about the supplements and they're just not into it, or they're confused, or it's overwhelming, and so they kind of just tune out. But this is the answer. The 8-pack power stack. I mean, this is a joke. $30 for the 8-pack power stack, folks. I mean, honestly, like, I could sit here and tell you how great this is, tell you how you need these supplements, tell you how they're organized, tell you how the leading competitor is going to be four times as much. But this is a joke. $30 for the 8-pack power stack. We're basically giving this away. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. That either is at cost or below cost. Probably below cost when we factor in the crew and everything it takes to make it and ship it and then get it to you. But we just want you to get the supplements. I mean, we want you to get the best products. We want you to live a healthy lifestyle. And so I can tell you, I'm actually looking forward to this. I've been out of commission from working out. I haven't been in the gym for about 3 weeks, I think, or maybe a month now. And so I'm getting back into my routine. And so I'm all about the InfoWars supplements, folks. I would not be able to get to the gym like I will tonight and exercise for 2 hours if it wasn't for all the supplements from InfoWarsStore.com. All right, let me do this news blitz here before I sign off. Folks, InfoWars.com, Jamie White has the story. More veiled threats. Hillary Clinton taunts Trump with fake letter of assassinated president. This is an odd one. Look, Hillary Clinton is a gangster. Hillary Clinton is a blood-sucking mafia boss, okay? She laughs about all the dead people in the Middle East. She laughs about destroying Libya. She laughs about that. She's a mafia don. She's gotten away with murder. And so the deep state and these people, they know who they are. They know how corrupt they are. They know Trump's not a part of it. That's why they're freaking out. She tweets out a fake letter from JFK, like mimicking like something JFK would send if he was Trump, I guess, talking about the Cuban Missile Crisis. But you see, JFK was assassinated because he was anti-war. JFK was assassinated because he was sick of expanding all these wars. He didn't want that to be his legacy. So what'd they do? They blew his head off. Hillary knows that. James Comey knows that. Folks, they're signaling they're going to assassinate Trump. See, and that's what I'm saying. People say, oh, you're a fear-mongering. Oh, Trump didn't get assassinated. Are you going to apologize? We might have literally stopped it. Why do you think they keep showing you all the JFK propaganda, folks? But it's not even, they don't even care. They know the average individual is so stupid or misinformed or ignorant. They'll never even see this. They'll never be able to measure it. They won't even have any clue. This is Hillary as a mafia blood-sucking boss telling all the people out there, we're trying to kill Trump. Comey does the same thing. Phil Mudd literally says it. They depict it in Hollywood with all their media. So this isn't a veiled threat from Hillary Clinton. This is a threat from the deep state that killed JFK and then covered it up with their corrupt media. All right. 30-second news blitz. Meghan Markle says she is existing, not living, as she struggles with the pressures of royal life. Oh, we're all so upset. I think they should just give it all up and move to America and be free. Once an international superstar, Canada's Trudeau fights for his political life. Ooh! Well, the last candidate that Obama endorsed lost. Her name was Hillary Clinton. Bernie Sanders is pissed off because Amazon is funding to stop socialism in Seattle. Wow, how about that? That does it for the War Room today. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.